Well, the first characteristic that I would want as a warfighter would be that it would be infinitely precise. That is, that you could focus it down so that there would be little or zero collateral damage. The second characteristic is that I would want it to be infinitely fast. That is, I would want it to be able to deposit its effect, its weapon effect, in a action that is faster than the blink of an eye. And in fact, such a technology exists, along with infinitely fast precision or infinitely precise application, that you have a near infinitely fast application of force. In fact, at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, which can really, which really means a way for us as humans to think about this, as encircling the Earth more than seven times in less than a second. That's how fast light travels. So the third characteristic, along with infinitely fast and being infinitely precise, would be able to, what I call, give you the opportunity to dial an effect. By dialing an effect, it gives the warfighter a means now to have a graduated effect, to be able to do everything from denying an adversary access to either their own weapon system, to a space, to be able to destroy that adversary, or be able to upset that adversary, to give the warfighter the opportunity to be able to determine what situation are they in, what type of effect do I want to deliver. Well, as it turns out, this type of technology does exist, and under the auspices of, and you've probably guessed it, directed energy. So the good news is that directed energy exists. Directed energy is being tested. It's the horrific effects of the atomic bomb, another revolutionary device that was invented at the laboratory where I now work, Los Alamos National Laboratory, Los Alamos. The introduction of advanced technology at the time can give the asymmetric edge which can lead to winning wars. So with all this, what is directed energy? What do we mean by that? Well, today what directed energy means is it's exploiting the electromagnetic spectrum. In the past, we included things like particle beams. We were able to propagate beams in space during a SDI experiment called the Bear experiment, beam experiment aboard rocket, and we successfully propagated a neutral particle beam in space. The problem goes back then again to what type of power supply does it take to propagate these beams. And so I'm not going to be talking about that today, but instead I'll be talking about different aspects of the electromagnetic spectrum, and that's what I mean by directed energy. So I don't mean to talk down to anybody, but I assume that since this is Washington, D.C., that we don't have too many PhD physicists here. And so I'm going to try to give you a quick technical overview of what I mean by the electromagnetic spectrum and some of the effects that we can expect from these directed energy weapons. So when we talk about the electromagnetic spectrum, we're just talking about electromagnetic waves. The same waves that are produced by sunlight, by these light bulbs that are in this room, by laser pointers, by just about anything else that emits light. But when light is created, when light is made, it's made at different wavelengths. And the only thing that differentiates directed energy, the various types of different directed energy, is the wavelength. If we start at a very long wavelength, kilometers long, those are what are known as radio waves. And we can get shorter and shorter wavelengths, and we start to get different effects. Radio waves are anywhere from these are the AM and FM radio waves that we're familiar with. There's just, again, different aspects of the electromagnetic spectrum. If we start getting very short wavelengths, say in the centimeter, length of centimeter or even millimeters long, then we began to enter what is known as the microwave spectrum. And so the microwave that exists in your house today is just a type of electromagnetic, it harnesses part of the electromagnetic spectrum in the centimeter, many centimeter range. If we shrink those electromagnetic spectrum waves even further and get down to millimeter waves, we get into what is known as terahertz radiation, and I'll talk a little bit about that today. Terahertz radiation really doesn't propagate too well in the atmosphere. It's absorbed a lot by the atmosphere, so we don't hear too much about that today. Now, suppose we shrink those waves even further and get down to many tens or many thousandths or even tens of millionths or hundreds of millionths of a meter. We're getting into infrared radiation now. That's just heat. And so the heat that you feel when you go out under the sunlight, that's just a form of electromagnetic energy. but it's in the infrared spectrum. Shrinking it even more, we get to visible light, and then shrinking that even more, millionths of a meter, and in fact even billionths of a meter, we get down to X-rays and gamma rays. So this entire electromagnetic spectrum, from radio waves to microwaves to visible light to gamma rays, they're really the same thing, just electromagnetic waves. They're just a little bit different in wavelength. Now, that difference in wavelength can provide us with a huge difference in effects. What about the Airborne Laser Laboratory, which is being built by the Air Force and right now resides at Edwards Air Force Base, works on this principle. The Airborne Laser Laboratory, other types of lasers have different types of kill mechanisms. The so-called THEL, the Tactical High Energy Laser, which was developed by the Army down and has undergone testing down at White Sands Missile Range, uses a different type of kill mechanism. The kill mechanism there is that, again, the warhead of this rocket, the Katusha rocket, which is the target of the THEL, is heated up, but it's heated up so much that the high explosive in the warhead actually explodes from the amount of heat being transferred from the laser to the warhead. The THEL laser works over a distance of greater than 20 kilometers, 10 to 20 kilometers, and the airborne laser is projected to work over a great distance greater than 100 kilometers. Again, near infinitely precise delivery at the speed of light, but a kill mechanism where the laser itself works on the target. Now, the laser, because it is either an infrared laser in the infrared region or the visible region, there's some bad attributes to this because they tend to scatter with dust, tend to scatter with atmospheric turbulence. It also doesn't work too well around water. It's absorbed by the water, so-called wet water resonances. So it's not a panacea. It's not a cure-all. However, different wavelengths propagate different ways through the atmosphere. And so if you can change the wavelength just a little bit to slip past that water absorption in the atmosphere, then you may be able to use it in maritime environments, the so-called megawatt class. The exact number is classified. Let's move a little bit further down in the electromagnetic spectrum, and I'll discuss now microwaves. Microwaves work on a completely different kill mechanism. Their wavelengths, remember, are about 10,000 times greater or longer than what laser wavelengths are, and so they diffract 10,000 times more, and therefore you have to use them about 10,000 times closer. So kilometer, 2 kilometers, maybe up to 10 kilometers away on a battlefield. Lasers, when they were invented, they were at the milliwatt level, thousands of a watt. Today we're talking about lasers in the megawatt class. That's a billion times difference over these 45 years since the laser's been developed. A billion times increase in so-called CW, or continuous watt power. Lasers have also enjoyed not only this great increase in power, but just a huge influx of funding, many billions of dollars over the past few decades. And we're at the point now with the laser energy, the power sources, the beam control, and what we know about atmospheric propagation, that these systems are quite mature and they're ready to move on to the battlefield. Microwaves, on the other hand, are relatively unknown. Well, gee, we've known about microwaves for years, haven't we? In fact, the Japanese, it's been documented that the Japanese actually had tried to field a microwave weapon back during World War II. And so the new microwave devices that are being explored today didn't come from the tube industry, but they came from a different part of engineering and science and technology known as the accelerator, high-energy accelerator physics. I won't go into it now. It's a very fascinating topic, but it's only been recently that this new branch, if you will, of engineering to produce these extremely high current, very high powerful tubes, microwave sources have been developed. And what you have to have, again, is a building about the size of this building to house the capacitors, the infrastructure needed to power these things. There is one form of a directed energy. It's in between lasers and microwaves. They're known as millimeter waves. I mentioned the terahertz region. This is the sub-terahertz region, and that runs from around 100 gigahertz up to several thousand gigahertz in frequency. Wavelengths are very small, millimeters. But it was discovered about a decade ago that these millimeter waves, especially centered around 100 gigahertz, produce what is known as the active denial effect. The active denial effect was declassified back in 2001 by the U.S. Marines and the Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Center. And the active denial effect is when these millimeter waves are absorbed within about the first top third millimeter of the skin. And this absorption, this is not heat. These are millimeter waves. It's not heat like infrared. But the energy, when it's absorbed, is interpreted by your nerves as heat because it's energy. If my body can lift it up in front of me and I would feel a sensation, an incredible sensation of heat, and it's something that I want to move and turn away from. In fact, I would want to flee. I can't really say too much about the device itself, but there is a device called the Active Denial System, ADS, that has been built for the Air Force by Raytheon, because I had access at a previous time when I was on active duty to some of these programs, such as active denial. Then there's a line that I cannot cross in revealing, for example, for official use information and that. But this is all publicly releasable and has been released, directed active denial. Right now it resides on a Humvee. But we shrunk that technology from being in a trailer about half the size of this room into something that can be put on a Humvee. The next phase is shrinking it even more. And perhaps the most important thing of all is to get our warfighters to use these things. It can work and it can accomplish the mission and do it better, do it cheaper. And what's in the hands of warfighters, figure out different and better ways to use them, ways that we can't even dream of, that we didn't dream of in the past. And so in the same way, once we get these directed energy weapons to the warfighter, they're going to be used in ways that we can't even dream of today.